beautiful song. That's the musical component of I Can Only Imagine by Mercy Me. And there's a movie coming out in March, I Can Only Imagine. And it tells the story of how that song came to be. And I'll give you a brief synopsis of it. The lead singer of Mercy Me was abused by his father growing up, and struggling with the call to ministry and struggling with becoming a musician. And his father, after his mother died, came to Christ. And that song is born out of the fact that he saw such a transformation in his father that only he really believed that only by the grace of God can a person change like that. And so I encourage you to go and see the movie when it comes out, and it's a powerful story and a powerful testament to how the grace and love of God can change a person's heart and really transform their lives. And that's why we gather on nights like this, to remember the power of God and His holiness, His majesty, His transformational power that can change our lives for the better. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we rely on the power of Your Holy Spirit to be in this place tonight, to move in a mighty way, to open our ears, our minds, and our hearts, to receive the blessing of Your word and the whisper of Your voice. We pray that in our silence and in our readings and even in our message and the breaking of the bread, that we would experience You in a new and powerful way, a life-transforming way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Bless the Lord, my soul.
We invite you to be at peace as you listen for the Holy One. Our reading tonight comes from 2 Corinthians For we do not proclaim ourselves, we proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your slave for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, let light shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in clay jars, so that it may be made clear that is this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our bodies. For while we live, we are always being given up to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be made visible in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. During the second reading of the text, allow God to direct you to a word or a phrase. For we do not proclaim ourselves, we proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in clay jars, so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our bodies. For while we live, we are always being given up to death for Jesus' sake, so that life of Jesus may be made visible in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life is in you. During this silence, you're invited to come forward and light a candle to signify a prayer intention or other understanding between you and God. You may also come to the kneeler for anointing and prayer for you or another. We also have an offering basket, so should you be moved to give an offering to God, either during the silence or when you come forward for communion. For we do not proclaim ourselves, we proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is God who said, "Let the light shine out of darkness," who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in clay jars so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our bodies. For while we live, we are always being given up to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be made visible in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life is at work in Jesus. Final reading from our text. For we do not proclaim ourselves, we proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is God who said, let light shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in clay jars so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our bodies. For while we live, we are always being given up to death for Jesus' sake, so that life, the life of Jesus may be made visible in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life is in Jesus. Amen. Thanks be to God for the word that Paul offers. What struck me in this passage is where Paul refers to the fact that we are like clay jars. Have any of you ever seen clay pottery from 2,000 years ago? I actually have. I was over in Israel for 5 weeks on an archaeological excavation site uncovering pottery shards and alabaster perfume jars, uncovered a flint blade and a bead for a necklace and some other treasures. And never once did we come across a full clay vessel because they're so fragile. They're imperfect. No two are alike. This was the time before glazing, so if you poured liquid in it and left it there for any length of time, eventually it would start to seep out of the sides because clay is porous. It's fragile. It has the ability to be cracked. It's kind of like us, fragile, full of cracks. And his language he's using here is the purpose behind it is for us to realize that if we are like clay jars and only had what to rely on, our power, then that our power would eventually dissipate or drizzle out or evaporate. And there'd be nothing left. But he points to the fact that we are always relying on the power of God. We are always relying on the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, that he poured out for us everything he had. And he pours out for us into our earthen vessels for the sake of allowing that power to not only fill us, but flow through us. For the sake of allowing his light to shine in the darkness of the world. We can't do it on our own. In other words, he's saying that we have to rely on the power of God. We have to proclaim not only the death of Christ, but the life of Christ. And that life is poured into us, not for the sake of keeping it to ourselves, but for the sake of allowing it to pour through us for the transformation of the world. And so I just love that. I love that passage because as we were reading it, I was thinking about all the pieces of pottery that we came across. And there was one person there at the site, her sole purpose was to collect what we found. So you see, we would go to the site and work all day and dig and come across something. And sometimes we'd come across an area where there were several shards of pottery, like in a space like this, and we would slowly excavate the dirt and brush away the dust and collect every piece, put it in a bucket, label it, take it back to where we stayed, and then we would have the chore of doing what they call a pottery wash. It sounded glorifying and amazing and exciting the first time we get to wash pottery, but after tons and tons of pottery, it becomes very boring. Until you come to that one basket where you know that potentially every shard in that basket can be assembled. And so we would take our time and care and clean every piece and put it in another box and then let it dry in the sun. And then we would ship it off to this PhD student. And her job was, we called her the puzzle maker. Her job was to try to put that artifact back together. And sometimes it was easy and sometimes it was hard, but the hours and hours she would spend, she would glue it together with a real special glue, Elmer's. True story. And after everything was said and done, she would have something visible and tangible, something that we could identify as a clay jar or a cup or a chalice or a plate. And you know, there were always a piece or two missing. But what kept it together was that glue. What filled in the gaps was that glue. And I think about that passage and I think about that image and realize, maybe I'm just speaking for myself, but I think we're all broken. And it's the glue called the Holy Spirit that brings those pieces of our lives together and makes something beautiful, something tangible, something visible to the world. And when people ask, what brought you together? We can give Jesus the credit and the glory. for life, a brokenness made whole through the blood of Christ. Amen. And so ironically, on the night he was betrayed, Jesus takes bread, gives thanks for it, blesses it, and then breaks it. A perfect loaf. And he breaks it. And he says, "This is my body, broken for you. Take and eat and do this in remembrance of me, because this is what will make you whole. My brokenness will make you whole." And when the supper was over, he took the cup and again gave thanks and blessed it. Gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and drink, for this is the blood, the cup of everlasting, the new covenant poured out and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins, for all the things that make you broken. This is what gives you forgiveness. It's what can restore you. Take and drink." And so we pray that God would pour out his Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these common elements of bread and fruit of the vine, that he would make them for us be the body and blood of Christ, that as we share in this meal and receive it, we become whole again. We become empowered by that Holy Spirit and filled with the love of Christ for the sole purpose of giving it away to a world in need. This is the prayer we pray. Amen. Ted and Nancy, would you be so kind to serve us tonight? The table has been set. The only rule in this house is that you're ready to come and receive. You don't have to be a member of this church or any church to receive this offering of grace. Simply come forward and hear the body of Christ broken for you and receive that gift of grace in the form of a piece of bread. And then simply take that and dip it into the cup and hear the words, "The blood of Christ shed for you." And then take and enjoy. The table has been set, the invitation has been extended, and we even have a gluten-free station here. As you are led by the Spirit, come and be fed, come and be filled.
Son to win.
kingdoms fall when men who hear refuse to pray. On rocks and hills and mountains call, God's love so sure shall still endure, all measureless and strong, redeeming grace to Adam's race, the saints and angels' song. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore be, the saints and angels' song.
Blessing and praise be given to Christ who comes, for us, comes in the name of the Lord.
from Psalm 48. We ponder your steadfast love, O God, in the midst of your temple. Your name, O God, like your praise, reaches to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is filled with victory. Let us be glad. Let us rejoice. May you go from this place with the hope of being filled with God's presence for the sake of allowing that presence to ooze out unto all those who you meet. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.